This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around when he hears this mighty sound.
Here I come to save the day.
That means that Mighty Mouse is on the way. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, Mighty Mouse will join the fight. On the sea or on the land, he gets the situation well in hand.
So though we are in danger,
oh yeah, a little bit of Mighty Mouse for you. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, January the 12th. Wow, month is moving along, is it not? We will be talking in a few minutes with Sarah Perry of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court is looking into the whole concept of the federal government making vaccines mandatory, so you don't have a choice on it, if you go to work in particular. The court's going to rule on it fairly soon, we believe, and so we'll talk with Sarah. We'll talk, among other things, about federal limits when it comes to what goes into your body. So stay tuned for that, please. And President Biden travels to Georgia yesterday, gets snubbed by Stacey Abrams. Remember her? The Democrat running in there for the governorship, I think it was, or the Senate seat. Then he gets upset when a reporter brings it up. We're going to talk about this and other things with the proprietor of the Barber Poll himself, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And inflation in December, it went up 7%. 7%. Wow. When is this going to end? We're going to take a look at it. We're going to see if we can make any sense out of that. And we have a good ultimate top 10 for you. The top 10 actors who died way too soon. Way too soon, way before their time. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. So get over there, guys. Best haircut in Tampa Bay. Rates are great. You know, we don't talk enough about how inexpensive it is to get the best haircut in Tampa Bay, but it is. And if you're a senior, it's even better. So call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773, 3773, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Well, you know, it just seems like one piece of bad news after another when it comes to the Biden administration. Inflation rose at the fastest pace in nearly 40 years. Last month, in nearly 40 years, as rapid price gains fueled consumer fears about the economy, and of course, Biden's approval rating went right down even further than it was. The consumer price index rose 7% in December, from a year ago December. Now, that's the Labor Department coming out with that. That's the fastest increase since 1982. And in 1982, it hit 7.1%. That was in the early stages of the Reagan presidency, by the way. And it was coming out of the malaise, I guess you could call it, of Jimmy Carter. So what's going on? And then you go to the store, and you can't find the thing. I got two cats. And all of the cat food I normally get, the wet cat food, Ed, there isn't any of it. I go to the Walmart store, and of course, the favorite thing she wants, it's not there. And it's been that way for about 10 days, 7 days. That's a lot of time. And that's just one item. People are complaining about all kinds of stuff that they can't find in the store. You know, the little things you normally don't even take for granted. So, and of course, it's going to fall on Biden, who seems to be a completely... I don't know, cavalier about it, or maybe unaware of it. He doesn't want to focus on it.
Well, because you don't see it the way he does.
Well, thank God I don't.
You don't see it to the fact that the reason there's not much product on the shelf is because Americans are making so much money now that they're buying everything up.
Yeah, that's his logic. You know, he wants to say, oh, yeah, look at how many people are low unemployment. Well, you go to the store, first of all, everything that you're making in terms of salary hikes is completely destroyed by the inflation rate. The inflation is higher. So we're actually losing that battle. And people know that. They're not dumb, you know. But there he was in Georgia talking about something that nobody cares about right now, voting rights. It's about 23rd on the list. If you go down the list of things that people care about, the Gallup poll, I'm going to try to find that, just came out. And, of course, the economy is number one right now. It's even over COVID. Despite all of the people that are getting the virus, the economy is the thing that worries them the most. Now, energy prices did fall. I noticed I went to the gas station, and our gas prices have dropped a few pennies.
Yeah, about 10 to 15 cents.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. That's a good sign, don't you think?
It's still 3.10. Still above.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's about 3.10, something like that. It is.
Yeah.
No question, but at least it's going in the right direction. Energy prices fell 1.1% in December from November, but they're still up about 30% from last year. About 30%. Let's see. Food prices. They went up 6.3% in December. That's a lot. In 1 month, mm-hmm. for the price of something to go up 6.3%. A used car and truck prices, listen to this. What do you think a used car and truck prices are from November to December? They're up 37%.
Does that mean new cars are too expensive?
This is used cars. It says...
the reason people are buying used?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, I'm sure it must be that people would rather spend less money. Doesn't look like they're spending less money.
Mm.
You know, maybe you ought to shop around for a new car. But things were bad. So Biden goes over to... He gave another speech yesterday. We'll talk about that a little later with... the proprietor of the barber pole, but he wanted to focus on voting rights. He didn't want to talk about anything else when it comes to inflation. Of course, he avoids talking about the border. He avoids talking about gas price increases. That affects everybody. He doesn't want to talk about that either. He called Kamala Harris the president again. Did you know? He keeps calling her the president. So I suppose maybe she really is. I'm beginning to wonder. And he just kind of goes out there and mouths whatever she wants. Anyway.
Now, when he calls her President Harris.
Yeah, he says that about five times.
Does she like arch her back and like gonna brush off her lapel? Check her breath and stuff like that, or what does she do?
I think she just beams in the corner.
In
fact, she was with him in Georgia because when he finished talking, of course, he wouldn't take any questions. He walked off. There she was. She had been. She followed him.
Well, she followed him because that's getting closer to the border, and she doesn't know where that is.
Yeah. Well, also she stands near him because what if he keels over with the big HA and then, you know, she's got to go ahead and, you know.
You think she'd catch him? No.
The big heart attack. What if he, you know.
Remember the time when he went up the Air Force One stairs?
And fell?
And fell three or four times before anybody went up decided to help him?
I was worried that he was going to take a tumble and just kind of, you know, like a stuntman go all the way down. Bouncing along all the way down. You know the guy at the bottom, you know, as you go up on the airplane salutes? So he saluted him on the way up, and as he comes rolling down, the guy salutes him. Anyway, that would make an interesting visual. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, We're going to talk with Sarah Perry, and we're going to talk about the Supreme Court and mandated vaccines.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday and delighted to have back Sarah Perry from the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with Sarah about this vaccine mandate case or cases that the Supreme Court is listening to. They have heard oral arguments in these vaccine mandate cases. And the question is, what are they going to do about it? The federal government, of course, is trying to force companies with certain numbers of employees to undergo vaccines and the like. And Sarah, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I heard a very interesting question the other day. Maybe it was earlier today. I can't remember. But anyway, somebody said, why is it that they the government wants to mandate vaccines for companies with 100 or more employees? What about, why is it that companies with under 100 employees get off and they don't have to do it? What was the rationale behind that?
Well, that's actually a great question. I think their lawyers are smart enough to recognize that Title VII requires oversight and governance of certain civil rights protections for employees who work at a company of 100 employees or more. And that's important because it's sort of a shoehorn into which the Biden administration had to push this regulation through OSHA, because OSHA guarantees the oversight and protection of employee spaces that are this big. They had to find a regulation in the OSHA Act, the Occupational Safety and Health Act, that governs those employee workplaces of that size. So they had to utilize a regulation that would fit the bill, that would allow them to institute a federal vaccine mandate using some very squirrely language. And I will tell you that there is nothing in the OSHA Act indicating the federal government has the power to issue a federal vaccine mandate whatsoever. And the court, I am inclined to think, is going to rule the same way. But they had to utilize that regulation, and it only governs employee spaces of that size. It does not apply to smaller employees, and that's precisely why we're stuck in this weird sort of only businesses of a certain size.
Indeed. Apparently there's, what, two cases that they are they're looking at. The first one is the National Federation of Independent Businesses versus OSHA, and then there's another one, Biden, good old Joe's in this one, Biden versus Missouri. So
right. So there are two different cases. One is the one that we're hearing most about because it's going to affect so many American lives. That's NFIB versus OSHA, the National Federation of Independent Businesses. And that's a conglomerate of a number of businesses and trade industries that have sued the Department of Labor and OSHA specifically over this regulation that applies to workplaces. And it's going to affect about 80 million American workers if it goes into effect. The second is Biden versus Missouri, and those are state-filed lawsuits. A number of states got together to try to block this mandate issued by the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and that falls under the Department of Health and Human Services. But because that only applies to workers in healthcare facilities, that's going to affect far fewer lives, and that's 17 million individuals, covered employees, that would be affected by that regulation if it goes into place. And we're actually anticipating, based on the fact that the Supreme Court has announced they will be issuing an opinion, or opinions, plural, tomorrow on Thursday, we actually think we might see an outcome in one or both of these cases as early as tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. I think it should be something that'll be settled. I don't think anybody knows the effects of the virus. I'm beginning to think, we said this the other day on the show, that nobody really knows what this virus is doing. Now, I know everybody's trying, in general, everybody's trying to do the right thing. But when it comes to what you put into your body, and this becomes kind of the crux of it, you know, can the federal government tell you this, what you can put into your body? Did Sonia Sotomayor make some sort of a big goof? She came up with something that didn't seem to make, had to do with school children or kids.
Oh, well, she actually made two statements that were patently incorrect, and she's been roasted pretty soundly on a number of news outlets. The first was that she claimed that there were 100,000 children in hospitals in America on ventilators, which we know is absolutely...
Where did she come up with that one?
who can say? Who can
say? Oh, my goodness.
But it does give me hope in my ultimate aim to become a Supreme Court justice.
There you go.
And the other statement that she made was that OSHA has a federal police power. Well, the 10th Amendment makes very clear that no power that is not outlined directly, that's given from Congress to the federal government, has to go to the states, which is why the federal government has no what's called a plenary police power, a power to regulate the health, safety, and welfare of its citizens. That is for the state to make a determination on under the 10th Amendment. So for her to say that the federal government had a federal police power was kind of a flunky move out of a con law 101.
Yeah.
So I think some of us are pretty surprised.
Wow. We're talking with Sarah Perry. She is the legal fellow for the Meese Center at the Great Heritage Foundation. We're talking about the Supreme Court looking into vaccine mandates, whether or not the federal government basically can tell businesses and people what to do when it comes to taking virus shots. Sarah, it seems like this is just going to go right down political lines. I mean, if you read between the lines, it seems like it's going to be like 6-3. I don't know. What do you think?
If I had to sort of wager on this, you know, and I tell people it's always dangerous to prognosticate because then, of course, you stand the potential of being proven wrong. But based on oral argument, I'm anticipating we're going to see a 6-3 split, the three liberal justices voting as a block together in dissent, and the six majority justices, the conservative and Chief Justice John Roberts, who himself seemed extremely sort of, you know, speculative about what he was hearing coming out of the mouth of the Solicitor General. And basically he said, ultimately, this looks a lot like a workaround. So what exactly are you trying to work around? I thought that was a strong...
Yeah, that is.
...from the Chief Justice.
Yeah.
He recognized that the federal government is trying to avoid following appropriate congressional regulations by going through notice and comment, by debating it in an open public forum, and instead issued an emergency declaration, which they're claiming gives them the power to affect 80 million Americans in their own personal lives,
yeah,
medical decisions, and that just doesn't stand.
What happens if that is indeed what is the case? The Supreme Court rules that the federal government cannot do this. Does it then go back to the states and the governors? And is that, I mean, where do we go from there?
From there, what we're already seeing is many states and localities, including private employers themselves, private corporations, who are even smaller than the 100-employee threshold required by federal civil rights law and the OSHA Act, they're actually making their own determinations. They're incentivizing employees to get vaccinated. They're allowing for flexible workspaces or masking and weekly testing for individuals who don't feel comfortable putting an experimental vaccine in their bodies. We're seeing states and localities and companies already take ameliorative efforts here. And what we want to do is encourage that. We don't want the federal government to become some kind of monolithic quasi-medical bureaucracy that makes determinations about what we can put in our bodies. That just doesn't make sense, and it would set a horrible precedent.
Yeah, indeed. You know, when we first had this virus hit, and we were all in a panic here back in, 2019 and whatever it was, nobody knew how to handle it, and we knew that we had something on our hands that could be fatal. So you could kind of understand that the president might do something. It's like declaring for a short period of time, kind of like declaring martial law. Right. You only do it at the moment when you are really, you know, things are really, really in a dangerous moment. But then as time goes along, it seems to me that the executive loses that ability, and it is picked up, in fact, in this particular case, back to the states, as it should be. In other words, if you have an attack on our country at first, you know, maybe the president can say, everybody, you know, into your houses, lights out, blah, 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 you know. But as time goes by, he loses that strength. Do you know what I mean by that?
Absolutely. And in fact, this is part of the reason that so many people are concerned about a federal vaccine mandate, because this is not a thing that you can stop and start. Once you take the vaccine itself, it fundamentally alters your DNA. It utilizes that mRNA technology that creates a change in a person's physiology.
Oh God, that's
now,
scary.
I'm not debating the efficacy of vaccines or even mandates if they come from an appropriate source. But what we are saying is this is very, very problematic to say that there is an emergency authority to fundamentally change our bodies. And then after that emergent situation dissipates, we're still left with whatever the change is. And who's to prevent the federal government in the future from utilizing a type of emergency as justification for any other form of intrusion at a grand scale?
Yeah, this is a scary scenario, now that you mention it. First of all, we don't know the long-term effects of all of these different vaccine shots. I took it. I got a Johnson & Johnson shot. I'm still waiting to wake up and see if I can now, you know, correspond with Martians. But so far, I'm not able to do that. But, you know, and then we had somebody on set, his wife got the virus shot, and her hair started falling out. Now, I mean, these things will come up, and you start to worry about what it is you're injecting into your body. When I was a little boy, that's how old I am, we did the polio vaccines. Now, I was too young maybe to know about any disputes, but I don't recall. It was during the Eisenhower presidency. I don't recall that there was really any big to-do about it, you know?
Right. Right, and that's usually because things like this have been studied for decades, and we have reams of longitudinal data on what the adverse effects are. And when we're hearing from companies like Merck or Johnson & Johnson that they want 75 years to be able to ultimately unveil and uncloak their research on development of the vaccine, that sort of raises an eyebrow as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
We don't have enough known about what these vaccines can do or will do. And we also know that there have been hundreds of thousands of adverse effects reported. That's the kind of data we just can't ignore.
Yeah.
People want the freedom to be able to make a decision, weigh the costs and benefits for themselves and their families. And the Biden administration is proposing to take that away.
You know, I am so glad right now that we have a Supreme Court. I don't know that I've been ever more dependent on them kind of putting their finger in the dike of all of this horrible stuff. It's not just the vaccine. There are other things as well. Do you know what I mean? It's like, thank God that the Founding Fathers had a check and balance.
Yes.
In this case, on both the legislative and the executive department.
Boy, I tell you what, creating that system of federalism and three branches of federal government certainly does seem wise in retrospect now, doesn't it? Because the court seemed to be really the last backstop against what we're seeing in terms of what's coming out of this administration. It really is an unprecedented administrative land grab by this.
Absolutely.
It really is something we've never seen before.
We have never seen it before in my lifetime, ever. I have never felt so kind of scared about that and the direction that we are going. It seems like we're being swept up in this thing, you know? And as I said, thank God. And thank God for people like you, Sarah. I really appreciate you coming on, talking to us about this. And I'm looking forward to the Supreme Court decision. Thank you so much.
Good. Thanks for having me.
All right. Sarah Perry. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Biden, he goes to Georgia, gets snubbed by Stacey Abrams, gets upset when a reporter brings it up. Going to talk about this, a few other things, with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Master Andrew Ceresi.
I want to know if you'll be my girl.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back.
She's simply...
We are back on a Wednesday, and I guess we haven't got the Master Barber with us right now. Okay. Maybe we will get him on here a little bit later. But right now... let's talk a little bit about Joe Biden. He went to Georgia, and apparently one of the reporters came up to him and said, "Where's Stacey Abrams? Are you insulted that she is not here?" Well, President Biden said he was insulted by the question, and he wondered, got upset with the reporter asking the question. The reporter asked, if Biden wondered if he felt that Stacey Abrams skipped her speech on voting rights on her Georgia turf because she doesn't want to be seen with Biden. So here's what he said. This is Biden. Any thought on Stacey Abrams skipping your speech today, sir? That was the question. He says, I'm insulted you asked that. I spoke to Stacey this morning. We have a great relationship. We got our scheduling mixed up. Ah, yes. The old scheduling mix-up. That always comes in handy as an alibi. He says, I talked to her at length this morning. We're all on the same page. Well, you may all be on the same page, but you're not in the same place. Now, Abrams is running again for the governorship of Georgia. And she's made voting rights a big deal. In fact, a cornerstone of her political platform. So when she says that she couldn't make it due to a scheduling conflict, I don't think so. It sounds like she has put her finger up in the air and tried to test the political winds. And the winds are telling her, don't show up and be on the dais with President Joe Biden these days because he's radioactive. Okay, so there you go. Now, Nancy Pelosi, and I wish we had the master barber because he would get a kick out of this story, but apparently House Speaker Nancy Pelosi not commenting on rumors that she might retire at the end of this term. That would be next year. Would we be sad to see Nancy go, Ed? Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we need to have her around. We got a lot of, we got some good laughs out of her. I mean, if she leaves, I'm worried.
I'd chip in for the U-Haul.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Some lower-ranking Democrats are saying she's going to take off. And party insiders apparently have begun speculating. Here is the Democratic House Budget Committee chairman. His name is John Yarmuth of Kentucky. He said, my gut would tell me this is going to be her last term. He says, I see a lot of people who would be the presumed successors donating a lot of money to their colleagues. I'm thinking that she is going to leave.
You know,
I think the time's right.
On both sides, there are so many people that have no business being in there. I mean, that are just way past their... Way past their...
Yeah, indeed.
The point that they really know what's going on.
Well, we start with Biden.
What's Nadler? What's his name?
Jerry Nadler.
He's the one, yeah, when they tried to show him the things that were going on in Seattle, oh, that's all made up.
Yeah, Jerry Nadler.
God.
Well, either they're downright duplicitous about it, and I would tend to think that that's more the case with Nadler. I don't think he's reached the age where he's completely out of it.
But it's both sides to me. I just, I wish we did have term limits, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. There was a guy in Tampa, and I'm going back to the George H.W. Bush days, that got this ball rolling about term limits, and it really started to take off and catch fire. I wasn't even living in Florida at the time, but I got excited about the guy. And I thought it was really a snowball rolling down the hill, getting bigger and bigger. And then all of a sudden, and all these people took the oath that they were not going to run again after a certain period of time. They all were taking this oath. And by God, so many of them just completely broke the promise. We've got a Republican right now who just announced, after saying he was not going to run again, that he is going to run again.
Yeah, but well, I'm here.
I think he's the guy.
I'm here. I've already unpacked. Why don't I stay another 4 years?
Exactly. I mean, come on. Talk about thumbing your nose at the voters.
Yeah. I thought you were for term limits. Yeah, no, but...
Yeah, no, it's absolutely bipartisan.
It's such a hassle, I'm already here. I've already put out the furniture and stuff, I've already dusted for the week, I'll just go ahead and stay, the 4 years.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. It's on both sides of the aisle. Total hypocrisy.
Lies.
Total hypocrisy. But you know what? When you go and you talk to the voters, they go, yes, I definitely like term limits. However, my guy is so influential.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose him because if I lose my guy, then we won't have the influence in Congress like we do right now.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. And then the other argument is, well, you can limit him by voting him out. That's his term limit,
Yeah.
And I guess you can make a case for that. The problem is, they get in there, they get comfortable, and like anything else, after a while, they rot. They rot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, and I agree with the term.
And once they get in, they basically buy their way to keep themselves in. In other words, they know who to hit up to stay in there,
absolutely.
Who to go along with to stay in there.
Absolutely. They know where to tap.
They know where they can
the
buy
money,
the votes.
And then, of course, you owe them.
Yeah.
They're sending you lots of money. You owe them something. I mean, we know that. It's kind of extortion in a way. Or blackmail or whatever the word is that I'm going to give you a lot of money. And I really do think on this issue, you ought to consider it. It's kind of a blackmail and extortion.
Remember when we had Anna Paula Luna?
Anna Paulina Luna.
And she came on and then she was just, flirting with the fact that she would go up or possibly be in Congress, all the offers that she was already getting before she was even in there. And she, of course, she didn't make it in. But
no, she didn't.
But, you know, she was being told there would be cars and stuff sent her way.
It's amazing.
And it's just absolutely so amazing. Corrupt.
Did you ever see the movie, and I know you don't like old black and white movies, so I know the answer. I'm going to ask it anyway. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington?
No.
Do yourself a treat, and listeners, the same. If you have never seen Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, Jimmy Stewart, which came out in 1939. I know. It's an old... But that was the golden year in Hollywood. But it's on... You can just go to Turner, because they always play it every several months. Okay, keep an eye out. And this is a guy that is coming in, and he is completely a virgin. He is so naive. He's so wonderfully fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Jimmy Stewart should have won an Oscar for it. And he gets himself hooked up with these people that threaten him, and he starts to learn the corruption of what is going on. It's just a wonderfully told story. So hard to stay a virgin, you know?
Now, Eddie Murphy also made a movie called The Distinguished Gentleman.
Oh.
Now, he is a con artist who's conning his way through life, and he overhears some senators talking, one retiring and whatnot, and he's like, I'm in the wrong business. This is where, that's where all the money is. So what he does is this guy who's running dies, and he has almost the same name, so he uses the name to get in. People don't even know. Oh, it's just Jeff Johnson. You know, his name is Jeffrey Johnson. He cut the re off and put Jeff Johnson, and he got in. But all the offers that came in, once the power and light, and I'll take you with me here, and this money, if you're against oil, then we got so-and-so here. If you're against this, then we got that. If you're against power lines, we can send you over here.
Yeah.
But all the kickbacks was, and he exposed it. So it was a very good movie.
I'll bet it was. Yeah, I mean, I love those kind of movies where you can kind of get into that and find out exactly what really goes on behind closed doors, you know? So, I don't know. There was another movie that was made called The Candidate with Robert Redford. Did you happen to see that one?
No.
Okay. It's Color.
Yeah, Robert Redford was Color, yeah.
No, the movie was in color.
No, that's what I mean. Most of his movies were in color.
Yes.
Yeah. You were talking Ronald Reagan. I mean, that's, come
no,
on.
No, I'm talking Robert Redford. And anyway, the movie's called The Candidate, and they talk about how he's a complete dummy. He's like a wooden dummy. Everybody behind him is running his life. Everybody. And
so you say he's a perfect candidate.
And he wins. He was one of these guys that they didn't expect, and he wins. And the last line of the movie is he's looking at the guys that have been helping him in the room. You know,
did he get to be president in 2020?
He goes, now what do we do? It was the perfect ending line for the movie. Now what do we do, right?
I thought the ending would be calling Kamala Harris president.
Speaking of Kamala Harris, in her latest comment on voting rights, has warned Americans that if Congress does not get it together on the voting rights bill, this is basically, we talked about this on our last show, a federal takeover of voting laws that currently the states are empowered to oversee. She said, if Congress does not get it together on this bill, the country will be kicked down off its pedestal. She says, we have been a role model. You can see this and aspire to this and reject autocracies and autocratic leadership. She says, right now, we're about to take ourselves off the map as a role model. If we let people destroy one of the most important pillars of a democracy, which is free and fair elections. And I will say this to you, Kamala Harris. If everything was, we were a role model before, why do you want to change the rules? If the rules made us a role model, as in the states oversaw their own elections, why would you want a federal takeover? How is that going to make what started out as a role model for the world, how is that going to make it better? She makes no sense, in my opinion. when it comes to all of this. Anyway, I'm sorry we didn't get the, I wonder if he overslept. I know he did.
Maybe he was just busy.
I'm sure he was.
I didn't call him.
Like, yeah.
He knows. He never does.
For those of you that don't know, Andrew always calls in, and Ed takes the phone call, and he gives me a thumbs up. And typically, we never have an issue. But he's a busy guy. And every once in a while, with all the things that he's doing, it's understandable. Let us take our break. When we come back, we finally got, I think, the playoff picture. We're going to talk a little bit with Ed about that. We're going to talk about the top 10 actors who died way too soon.
I'm going to raise a fuss. I'm going to raise a holler.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back with the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for listening to us. Really, all the time, we appreciate that. We are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. It encompasses several stations here in Tampa Bay, and of course, you can listen to us on the internet, which is great. But if you can't listen to us live, thanks to Big Ed, all of our shows are put on podcast. He makes it real easy. All you got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and click on podcast. There's all the shows, chronological. You'll see the guest, top 10. We thank Ed for doing that. It's great of him. O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. All right.
Hey, Paul, you ever watch TV Land?
Like, you mean the network?
Yeah.
Yeah, once in a while.
You know, like Bonanza's on there?
Right.
Have you seen the disclaimer that they put up before the show starts?
On Bonanza?
Yes.
Now, don't tell me, because I haven't. I'm just going to think. Let's see. We had... The only thing I can think of is they had a cook that was a Chinese guy or something, and they made...
The following program contains outdated cultural depictions.
That's got to be him. Right? Am I right?
Well...
They have a cook
yes.
on there that was an Asian.
Yes.
And they treated him great.
Hop Sing.
Yes.
Wow.
Now that is really, that
is a
stretch.
I can't remember what color paint my truck is, but I just remember Hop Sing.
You're right. That's right. Hop Sing. I wouldn't have remembered
it. Yeah, wow.
Anyway, is that what you think that they, what else is it?
I would guess so.
Because Hoss was too big?
It's displayed
on. Or is
it,
you know what I mean?
It's displayed on Bonanza and Gunsmoke.
On Gunsmoke, do you remember they had a guy with a handicap, Chester?
Okay.
Chester walked with a limp, and he was kind of a little bit, not buffoonish, he wasn't buffoonish, but he was a little bit either slow or kind of, you know?
Right.
You know, he's a very loyal guy. Maybe that's it, because of his limp. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. Very interesting.
I just thought that was...
Now, we got a few minutes. We got 5 minutes. I want to talk to you a little bit before we get into our top 10. Ed, did you watch the college football championship?
I did.
Monday night.
I did, and what a great game it was that it came down to such a fantastic a finish. But it was
close.
But you saw
the end.
You saw something in there as to answer why there are kids that opt not to, to participate in that game. What's his name? Jameson Williams, wide receiver for Alabama, a top potential top five pick in the NFL, blew out his knee.
I know. It didn't look good
now
when they showed it.
They, the doctors have said should make a full recovery, but hey, everybody's body's different.
Yeah.
You know, you and you, do you really as an NFL general manager want to put millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars on that situation? That's rough.
So your point is what on that?
My point is it going to cost him millions of dollars whether he likes it or not?
Yeah.
I mean, he could drop probably to the late first round.
True.
And that you cost
but that's
anywhere
the gamble
10, 15.
You take at the same time.
I know that. But
you're showcasing yourself.
But you have people saying, hey, look at these kids that are not, you, no school spirit.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, there are people on the other side that say, these kids that are opting out, they don't have any school spirit. You know, they don't have, you know, the loyalty
but in
to
the
their
championship
school
game,
to help them win.
Well, in the championship game, they're not opting out.
Yes, they are. There are a lot of kids that opt out for the championship game. Yeah, there's a few.
What do you mean?
There are a few.
Guys on the Alabama team, and they're going to play in the championship.
Maybe not necessarily the top, the top game, but on the ladder on the way up, those bowl games, that they're opting out of those bowl games is what I'm saying.
Well, okay.
Okay, the kid from Pittsburgh.
Some guys are going
to. The quarterback from Pittsburgh.
If he already knows he's going to go into the pros, I got you. I got you.
Well, there's
but
this,
you think in the championship between Georgia and Alabama, by the way, just so everybody knows, Georgia won.
Yes.
In case you didn't watch it.
I'm saying this could. This is going.
Anybody in that game opting out, do you think?
Well, I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure.
Can you imagine going to the coach and say, Coach, don't put me in.
No.
I'm going to go on a high draft pick.
No, they opt out way before the game starts. I mean, they already let the coach know weeks before the game so they can game plan without him.
Wow.
No, but this is going to.
And
is
you're
going to
screw
gonna,
your alma mater because
but,
you want to make sure you don't get
them.
Hurt.
Now, you're one of them, though. But what if that kid is your kid?
I would want my kid, if he was a good player on either Alabama or Georgia, to give it his best in that game. That's what I would want. Knowing
that he's
always yes.
Knowing that he's a top five pick.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes. That's what I would tell. I would never say, pull your punches, son.
I don't know. I'm just saying I'm making a case for both.
I hear you.
Because next year, people, there's going to be a few that are going to hold out and they're going to say, hey, look what happened last year.
Okay. We got a couple more minutes left. We are approaching the football playoffs this weekend, and we know that Philadelphia is going to come here and play the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any of the other games right now about who's playing who. But I'm looking forward to the chance that the Bucks will face, I don't know why, but the Green Bay Packers and trounce them. Because Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Packers, and Tom Brady for the Bucks are probably the two guys being considered for the MVP of the league.
Right.
So anyway, your thought on that.
Well, first off, the Bucks have to take care of the Eagles here.
Oh, yes.
And I just got word Sunday is going to be 70% chance of rain and windy, about 22 miles an hour.
Wow.
But if you needed a guy that knows how to play in the inclement weather,
Tom Brady
would be
so
the
does,
guy.
But so does.
But they're saying,
Aaron
well, this
plays
is
in Green Bay, Wisconsin, open air stadium.
I know, but they're not playing this week. Green Bay's not playing this week.
Well, the heck with
so
you're right, Philadelphia. But Philadelphia, is that an open stadium?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway,
doesn't matter. It's here.
Yeah. I think, but Brady, you're right. Brady knows how to play.
But
Brady knows how to play anyway.
Philadelphia's run, so they're saying, ooh, this might favor them. So they obviously.
It never
these,
works the way you
yeah,
think
these,
it will.
Yeah, these pronosticators have never met Tom Brady, so whatever.
Exactly. I would think, you said that the line,
I have to check. I think it was 5. Maybe that was.
I would definitely take the Bucks with that one and only give away 5 points. Okay. Time for, this comes from Mojo.com, by the way. The top 10 actors who died way too soon. Believe me, you can make a case for a lot of others. But this one from Mojo.com I find very interesting. So here we go. Top 10 actors who died way too soon. Number 10. John Candy.
Oh, yeah.
You remember good old John Candy? He was great.
I can't remember what his last movie is, but I remember they talked about the fact that he was just... They just wrapped up the movie weeks before that, and they were just devastated to hear the news.
Yeah.
So
it was devastating news. Okay, number 9. Oops. You know, this is kind of on the same wavelength. Chris Farley.
Yes.
Remember Chris Farley?
Yeah.
He went to Marquette, by the way, just so you know. He was the rotund Saturday Night Live kind of slobbish guy, and he made, God, and then he got into the movies.
But John Candy was, I think, just because of his size killed him, whereas Farley was drugs.
Yeah, Farley was doing everything. Farley was on a death ride. Number 8. John Cazale.
Don't know him.
Oh, you do, but you don't know that you don't, that you do. John Cazale played in The Godfather. In fact, he's the only actor in history to have every movie he made appear, every movie he was in was nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. He was the boyfriend of Meryl Streep,
Mm-hmm.
He was in Dog Day Afternoon, both Godfathers. He played the oldest of the boys that was kind of the slow-witted, what was the name of the oldest godfather
son?
I can't remember, but anyway, he was the one, and he did a great job. Okay, number 7, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe. She died of an overdose. Mm. She was only 35 years old.
Yeah.
Or 36. Number 6, here is another one. I kind of went the route maybe of Chris Farley, do you think? Philip Seymour Hoffman. Great actor.
Can't remember
you
who
know,
that is.
Yeah, he was in that movie with Tom Hanks, Somebody's War. Tom Hanks made the movie, oh boy, losing it. Anyway, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in a bunch of movies with great named actors. Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, a whole bunch of others. And he was really something.
Yeah.
Really something. He played Capote in the movie Capote.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Truman Capote. Number 5. John Belushi.
Yeah.
We know.
Yep.
Another guy. A lot of these just wasted themselves away with drugs. Mm-hmm. Number 4. Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Remember Heath Ledger?
Yeah. Made that great Batman movie.
He was the great Joker.
Great Joker.
And
great.
He was also in that Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, movie. I didn't see that one.
Oh, that was a, you know, the two gay combos.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 3.
Take your word for it on that.
What? Yeah, okay. Number 3 is River Phoenix.
River Phoenix, yeah.
You know River Phoenix?
Yeah.
River Phoenix was only like 22 years old.
He made that movie, and I'll make a quick Stand By Me, and in the movie he dies. At the end of the movie he dies. It was almost the same situation. It was really kind of strange.
Kind of art, mimicking reality. Number 2. James Dean. Everybody remembers James Dean. He made 3 movies, and he became a huge, huge star in just 3 movies. And then he died in a car crash.
Yeah.
Number 1. Bruce Lee.
Yeah, okay.
Remember Bruce Lee?
Yeah, I know.
He played Kato
in
the Green Hornet and all that, but all the Kung Fu movies. Bruce Lee. All right, thanks so much. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.